And welcome to Dice and a Slice, the only D&D 5e podcast powered by Baked Goods. My name is Joshua Gould. I am your Dungeon Master, Weathered Captain, and a Locked Down Gentleman. I am joined today by a slice of aged Christmas cake and several hunks of a very sharp cheddar. Write to us at Dice and a Slice on Twitter to tell me how much you hate that.
Hunks? Did you say hunks?
Hunks, yeah. Hunks of cheddar, yeah.
Hunks of chedder. Not chunks.
Apparently that's the new way.
Hunks made of cheese. I'm going to look for pictures of hunks made of cheese. Cheese, hunks.
Cheesy hunks.
I'm upset by all of this.
That could be like hunky men dipped in cheese.
Ugh. Like fondue. Man fondue.
I don't want a man fondue.
Man fondue is a disgusting sentence. How dare you make me Google that?
I've sent people pictures on Facebook of men made of cheese.
I approve it. Well, whilst they go and look at that. Hi, I'm Jazz. I'm playing Skylar, and I'm miles away from cheese because it's not really my favourite thing either. So this entire conversation is really just making me very upset, but not as upset as how long the strudel that I've got for today is taking to cook. I don't know why. Every time I go to the oven, it's just soggy. And
I'm sorry, I've just looked at Alice's photo. What cheese looks like that?
Yeah, Alice has just sent us a photo of a cheesy hunk.
It's a man in a yellow morph suit that's got like red spots on it and like a wheel-shaped headpiece.
I think it's trying to be like Swiss cheese.
Okay, he's called the Stinky Cheese Man. And the thing is, I'm finding loads of different versions of him. He seems to be a character in some kind of play. And there's loads of different casts.
What the hell?
Yeah.
What depths have we reached?
I've found so many different reimaginings of the Stinky Cheese Man.
Are they all Josh? Josh is pulling a very grumpy face, listeners.
I have gone to the Madison Theatre web page because they've put this play on, and I clicked on the picture to see what context it would take me to, and it's just taking me to a page on the theatre's website that just says the word Stinky Cheese Man and has four photos, but no information about a play. No,
Alice, I think you found a weird black hole part of the internet that's just all Stinky Cheese.
Alice,
man.
Come back. Come back to us. You have to leave.
Oh my God. No, there used to be a children's fairy tale book. I only know this because I've just had this memory force-fed into my eyeballs, called The Stinky Cheese Man and Other Fairly Stupid Tales by John Skeiske.
Oh, here it is!
Yeah, that was a book that we had when we were younger that I'd forgotten about.
Oh, no. I don't like that, Alice.
Hang on, what?
Oh, my God.
Do you not like it?
That's like Salad Fingers Nightmares.
I think it's cute.
Imagine, dear listeners, if you will, a wheel of cheese a la Skyrim style.
It's
Alice,
also,
don't you dare share your screen. Alice, no!
Oh my
no.
gosh, his mouth is made of bacon and his eyes are made of olives.
Oh God, that's horrible.
Alice, this is terrible radio.
Alice, save that, and they're all going to go on the Instagram for everyone all else right. to be horrified by.
Alice, for your sins, introduce yourself.
I'm Alice. I play Hendrix.
Are you going to be having some belated strudel as well, Alice?
No, I had some Christmas pudding earlier, so I'm a bit too full for strudel.
Did you get a picture of the Christmas pudding?
Hi, I'm Alice. I'm also having apple strudel.
Smooth.
Hi, I'm Alicia, and I've had a chat with Josh, and we've agreed that we're going to just sit Tala out for this session. I will be playing the Stinky Cheese Man for this game. I'm kidding, I don't want to do that. I do play Tala. And my slice today is a lovely slice of moist, and I'm saying that word and I'm sticking with it, delicious Victoria sponge, and it doesn't have any icing in it, which is normally not my thing, but it's really good, and it was made by Josh's mum. So Helen, good job once more, you're great.
Dice and a Slice, brought to you by Parents Baking.
And it is our first session back of 2021.
Woo! We made it, guys.
We did it. As a special New Year treat, is the middle bit guy gonna do the recap?
Little bit guy, tell us what you know, because we don't remember what happened.
Guys, if you're not listening to the middle bit, you really should, because A, it's Josh's good fun and it's funny, and B, we shout out lots of really cool, like, small artists and small creators and people doing good stuff in the world. So if you don't listen to it, you should.
So you want to know what happened last time? Well, last time on Dice and a Slice, there was a Christmas adventure, but before that, our three adventurers had found themselves fighting a tiger with tentacles, a tentacled tiger that came for tea, if you will. The three of them aptly dealt with this foul beast. They sliced and diced the tiger from shoulder to navel. It evaporated, like it had been snapped out of the world by Thanos. They then went to the village. When they got there, they found that the water was still rising, albeit much slower, and they tried to make themselves a boat out of the houses. Some winds whipped up around the island. A real flurry of blows, if you will. From this storm, there came a boat, unmanned by anyone, no sails falling down. Tala went over to investigate to find it completely devoid of life. Hendrix thought maybe the boat was possessed. Pad was staring at the boat. He had a tear in his eye. And it turns out that he's been praying a lot to his god, and it turns out that Venta had sent a boat. All three of our adventurers found themselves upon this very merry vessel. As they left the island, Skylar stood with his hands on the banister, pondering everything that happened on the island. Not being there for more than a few seconds, they were suddenly met by a strange sensation, as though they had been whipped up in something that could be considered a dream or a vision. Something that is canon but non-canon. Who knows? It was a festive adventure, and they've all got some very special gifts. So, you remember entering the winds swirling around the island. You remember an adventure on a carriage. There was some sort of large fox with eight legs. And you found yourselves back on the boat again, with the winds still swirling around you. After maybe 5 minutes of the boat pushing through these winds, driven by some supernatural force, you guys saw a glimpse of daylight. You moved towards it in this boat, and found yourselves surrounded by still waters, with the sun just touching the horizon. There are no islands to be seen for miles around. Pad yells up to Shimmer, "Shimmer, take us home." And Shimmer points in an easterly direction. The three of you, exhausted from the previous days of adventure, most notably the storm that I feel like you probably haven't yet recovered from, but also all the righteous activity upon the island, retire wearily and bedraggledly to your hammocks that you would know to be below deck. You have a good night's sleep. You awaken feeling rested, as though you've had a long rest. Hey. In the morning, you can hear the sounds of activity above deck. You can smell bacon or some sort of cooked fish, perhaps, as Tiny is serving up a meal, which the three of you each devour heartily, as though you've not eaten properly for several days.
Oh, so true.
Hendrix and Skylar, you are both stood at the prow of the ship.
So Skylar is sort of leant on the balustrades, just like he tends to do when he's watching the sea. And he's just trying to process everything, really. He doesn't like to rush thinking about things. He likes to kind of take his time.
Hendrix, is it fair to say that I would have found my ticket when I woke up from my dream?
Yeah, you've always known that it's there. And there's a part of you that thinks maybe the ticket was always there.
Ooh. So Hendrix has been fidgeting with this ticket a lot and looking at it, being unsure what to do about it. Because in a way, realizing that you need to walk away from your pact with a demon, but thinking that you're damned and just have to do good with the time you have left, it feels a bit easier than realizing you actually have a shot at redemption, because that means you have to change more, and that's more daunting. And it's kind of easier to throw up your hands and say there's no hope than address what hope means. So that's where he's stuck at the moment. So he's been looking at it a lot, then keeps stuffing it back in his pocket. But he's trying to keep it in a pocket that doesn't have any crabs in it, just out of respect.
Which is difficult.
He keeps removing crabs from the pocket. Yeah. And get away from that. Don't chop it up. No. He comes over to Skylar and sort of just stands beside him, kind of looks at the sea and doesn't say anything for a minute. And then it's like, how are you doing after all of that?
All right. He kind of says with like a slow nod. He's still in the robes and everything, all of the garb. He hasn't taken it off.
Interesting.
Mainly because he has sort of grown accustomed over the past couple of months to just wearing everything that he owns. But also, he doesn't want to be apart from these robes. So he's just got it on over his leathers. He's got Moontooth at his waist. And he's just kind of, not sedate, but he's just being quite calm. So as he looks at Hendrix, he kind of goes like, I'm doing all right. How about you? You look like you got a lot going on.
I'm just thinking over everything that that happened, you know, the temple, and I feel like I should say I'm sorry, just on behalf of, you know, the Axilus messing with your place. That's not right. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Skylar just kind of looks sideways at Hendrix and just kind of like slow blinks and then gives a small smile, and he's like, I appreciate the sentiment, but you're apologizing for the Axil worshippers and so forth, and I don't know if I can accept it because I don't think they'd want you to apologize, but I appreciate that you're sorry, but you don't need to do it on behalf of them.
I'm starting to wonder if I've gotten into something I shouldn't have. Any kind of fidgets with his pocket. You, at the temple, you changed, you know, you had that conviction in you. You had this kind of rage in you, but it was like a good rage. I was impressed.
Can you tell the people back where I live that? I'd like them to think that that was a mighty good rage that I had, not childish impertinence.
Well, maybe when we go there, I'll tell them about it.
I'll hold you to it.
I've never really followed the gods, you know, and then obviously Axul just seemed like it gave actual results, you know, but seeing what they're doing to the temples and then holding that hag, and it just turned around and took the life out of her, even though she was dedicated to what Axel was doing. And I think I've realized I've done something stupid with my soul.
I see.
How do you have so much conviction? Sorry, it's a stupid question, but you seem to care about your god a lot. And
That is a big question, but
I just wish I felt like that.
You can't go expecting anything, if that makes sense. Like, with the gods, we are only ever going to be small to them, I think. You are only a small part of their bigger world, you know? They've also got their work and all of these other things, and you can't expect them to have the answers that you're after all the time or to be there when you need them.
You're saying the gods don't always have the answers?
It's not that they don't always have the answers, but it's not going to be the answer that you think it is.
Meanwhile, Tala, you are below deck with Tiny. Now, he's doing typical quartermaster things. He's checking to see what provisions you guys have in the barrels. He's counting the gold that the elves brought onto the ship. He's sort of busying himself. And what are you doing?
I would imagine Tala's probably like helping bits and pieces.
Lifting heavy stuff.
Tidying things. Moving stuff to where she's not really ever spent much time on a ship. So she's just guesstimating.
Yeah, that's fair. Tritons probably tend not to spend all that much time on ships.
If I'm near the water, I'm going to be in the water.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, so while you guys are moving boxes and things, you're aware that his unseen servant is also moving stuff, and occasionally you bump into him. So Tiny turns to you, Tyler, and he hands you what seems to be a sort of medium-sized box, and he just sort of points at a shelf above you. You are between him and the shelf, so he passes you the box.
I put the box on the shelf.
Yeah. It's a medium-sized box. You're able to do so.
So, this is odd, but I think I have a gift for you.
Okay. Thanks, I think.
I'm not entirely sure I remember or believe how I got it, but I have a whisk that I got for you, if you would like it. And I hand him the silver whisk that she pilfered from the train.
He has a sort of confused look on his face, but his hand goes forward and he picks it up and he says, thank you very much. It's a beautiful whisk. It's got a good handhold. And he sort of takes a little jump back and he sort of takes like a fencing form with the whisk. And he sort of does a very good pantomime of someone fencing with it. He says, yes, this will certainly whip some milk into a good froth. I may even be able to use it to get some nice whipping cream if we had such a thing, and if I wasn't, you know, a vegan.
Are you vegan?
I cook meat for other people, but, you know, I am a cow.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, I mean, it's It's a small thank you because you've been really good and helpful the past few days.
Oh, that's awfully kind of you. I mean, you know, I only help those that require help.
It's... Tala narrows her eyes, like, excuse me.
No, I don't mean that. I don't mean that. It's I wanted to help you and your friends because I'd like to help you.
Smooth.
She's gonna kind of like sit herself on a work surface and be like, so.
He tuts.
Are you religious, Tiny? You got a god?
Well, yes and no, I suppose. I think in many ways we all worship various gods, and what that means to different people is specific and non-specific. Obviously, the captain himself, he worships Venta.
Yeah, found
that out. And that's great for him.
Yeah.
I'm more on the side of anyone who will help me out when I'm in a sticky situation, you know? I think the gods, God is all around us, and everything we observe is because of the gods, but I don't know if there is a god, you know, in the way that life is God.
So you don't have like a one god that you worship or follow?
I'm
or...
not an acolyte, no.
Okay.
I mean, I know the gods exist. I've read the stories. I've seen wondrous things, but that's not to say that they're a person or that they have the names that we've given them.
I mean, sure. Yeah. Maybe.
Do you have a god that you follow?
Is it not obvious?
I don't like to assume.
I mean, yeah, Liska. It's, you know, water.
Sure, she's the...
water person.
The water one. The symbol is an octopus, right?
Yeah, that's the one.
Sure. I'll make sure not to serve that then. And he sort of laughs awkwardly. And then I expect there's like a drop on Tala's face.
Why is that? Oh, no. I think, weirdly, although the symbol's an octopus, I don't think octopus... I don't imagine they'd be sacred.
Okay.
They seem quite down to earth.
Yeah, people of the sea and fish and
it's more the shells. The shells are the sacred thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah, an octopus could come and go.
Still seems like a joke Tiny would make though, you know.
Yeah, it absolutely does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about. We're not. Do you know what? Having met people with hefty other pantheons, I think the Luskans are pretty chill as a whole.
You're the ones that bathe yourselves every night, is that right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. But I mean, that's like a choice thing that we want to do. It's not like you have to do that or you're banned from the club. It tends to be a lot of tritons, so we like being near the water anyway.
Well, that makes sense. How interesting.
Yeah. I've never really met many other people that are super religious. And now I feel like everyone has got other gods that do other stuff and work in different ways, and Venta sent a ship.
Well, there are, goodness, 9 gods, I think. Some people say there's only 1. Some people claim there's only 5, and that doesn't make any sense. It's a strange hill to die on when so many people have an opinion.
Yeah.
He's sort of busying himself. It looks as though he'd done a little bit of gathering on the island just before you guys had left. He's sort of chopping up what looks to be like a yucca.
Oh.
He's sort of trying to experiment with island and mangrove-based fruits and or vegetables that he's been able to harvest. There's a bale of hay in the corner, which looks like it. Obviously, there wouldn't have been a bale of hay on the island. That looks like that bale of hay was there. So back to Skylar and Hendrix.
I guess it depends on whether you want, like, something that's easy or something that's worthwhile, you know? Like, okay, look at it like this. With God's not always giving you what you want and not always being there when you need them and stuff, I guess I view it like the difference between parents and shopkeepers. Like, parents, they ain't always gonna be around when you need them, and they ain't always gonna be focusing all their attention on you, but they love you, and they don't ask for nothing from you other than to just show up, say hi, and do your bit to be a good person. You know, that's kind of the bare minimum of what a parent expects, is just that return of unconditional love. But it's something that you work on, and it's something that takes time to grow, and when that becomes threatened, you're gonna defend it more than you're gonna defend the shopkeeper. But the shopkeeper will give you exactly what you want real easy, because you just have to have the gold to buy it. You can just walk straight in and ask, and you'll get it. but you won't defend that shopkeeper from, like, an argument that he gets in when he goes home. You know, if someone insults him, you're like, well, that ain't my business. But if they were to insult your parents, well, that's a different story, you know?
So that's why you were fighting so hard.
Yeah. That's really what I think it comes down to.
So you're saying that, you know, demons are easy because you just make a bargain, but with gods, they just give you what you need, not what you want.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
But then you're saying they don't always pay attention and they're not always there for you. So what's the point?
Well, what's the point in having parents?
Well, you can't help that.
All right, I hate to bring it up, but you had a son. What would you say?
To what?
What's the point?
About the gods or about me?
About you. If you're not there when he needs you, and you don't give him what he wants all the time, and he asks you, Daddy, why don't you do these things?
So Hendrix looks a bit troubled for a bit because navigating past the idea of not always being there for his son is difficult.
Yeah.
He thinks about it and is like, oh, I suppose I tell him that, you know, he's got to grow and he's got to be strong, and sometimes what he wants ain't what's right for him, and, you know, he's got to trust me, and I'm trying to help him, you know, get the skills he needs to be the man that I know we can grow up into.
He kind of, like, very gently kind of, like, nudges his arm against yours in, like, that very slight sign of, you're all right. Because he knows that he didn't want to bring that up, but it was also the most effective way to get the point across.
Yeah, definitely.
And he thinks that Hendrix needs to hear it, but it just so happened that it's also a bit of a drive-by.
Yeah. So he gives Skylar a bit of a look to show he appreciates that. Then he looks at the sea for a bit. It's like, I never really bothered with the gods, and then when my family died, I was just angry and scared, and I wanted to do something to take control of fate. I feel so powerless when that happens, and I didn't want to be powerless anymore. And then watching that hag die, holding her as she died, seeing how much Axel didn't care, I realized I'm just as powerless now as I was then, but I'm feeding something bad. I don't know.
This ain't the end. Axel, I don't really know much about him or any of the other gods. I was only ever raised and really ever know about y'all. But I know enough that this ain't it. If you want to change, there's gonna be someone who will want to listen to that. But you gotta think about what matters to you and align yourself with who best fits that idea, you know?
I suppose I don't really want to jump out of the frying pan and into the fire, you know.
Don't go associating with demons and you'll be all right.
Still. But, you know, pledging one allegiance to one big thing you don't understand and then running from it to another one that people say is good, it's a little daunting. But I know that if I don't, I'm Axel still. And that's not going to go well for me because I don't think I can follow him anymore. I think I've got to help setting right what's going on. Anyway, hey, you know, point is, you were very impressive back there, and if you're serious about wanting to keep, you know, keep trying to fight whatever's going on, I'd like to help, even though I am an Axelus, and I don't know if you'd want me there or not, but I'd like to help you if I can.
Of course I want you there. You know, if you're willing to come along and help, that's all I need.
Well, I don't know about pledging myself to any gods just yet, but I'll pledge my help to you in the meantime.
I appreciate that. And I'll do whatever I can to help you, either physically or spiritually, I guess.
Sorry, I know you're not really a priest, even though you're wearing the robes.
So, Tala. Tiny seems to be making some sort of, like, it's like a lunch. It's got some weird grains and some weird roots that he's sort of done a rudimentary fry on.
Sure.
He's sort of busying himself. You get the impression that he's trying to find a reason to use the whisk.
Oh.
When eventually he grabs like what appears to be like a small vial of oil that's on like his bandolier. He sort of whips it out and he gets some vinegar and he starts sort of whisking it together to make a dressing of some sort.
You don't have to use the whisk just because I'm here.
Hey, I can make a dressing without a whisk. I gotta, you know, it's a fine. I mean, it's getting everything so emulsified. I mean, look at that. That's beautiful. I mean, it is beautiful, yeah.
Oh, Tala chuckles. I will say, I imagine that, like, Tala would feel this. I don't know whether Tiny would, because Tiny is a separate entity who I do not maintain. I imagine Tala feels really comfortable sitting in just like the quiet with Tiny, like if he like cooks and stuff. Like she doesn't find it awkward. She finds it like a comfortable silence as opposed to an awkward silence. I cannot speak for Tiny, but that is Tala's vibe.
Tiny is used to spending his time with an invisible sous chef.
Oh, sure.
So having an other entity there is fine, sure, with him. Occasionally he swears under his breath, but it's just because he cut something the wrong shape or whatever.
Can I just interrupt above table? I mean, in podcast, but above table, say that was such a girl brain, boy brain moment just then, just to be really stereotypical. Alicia's like, Tala's really comfortable because of the company and because there's a vibe. And you're like, oh, he's comfortable because he is an unseen servant, so he's used to quiet company.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was hilarious. Alicia's like, Tala's feeling like they have a bond. And you're like, yes, he has a spell where he has unseen, unheard help. So this makes sense.
He's used to people not talking to him.
To be fair, Tiny is a bit of a himbo.
Oh, he is.
I just thought that was such a stereotypically gendered conversation you two just had. I was too entertained by it.
As soon as Josh responded, I was like, yep, that was not the point of what Tala was saying. But
I know! Okay. I was like, that is the of a girl who did not hear what she was hoping to hear and can't be bothered to get into it.
I will also say, another bit of table talk, Tiny doesn't have a great wisdom score.
Aww. Sweet boy.
Or particularly good intelligence. He's just got expertise in cook's utensils. Aww.
So as he is whisking his dressing, bless him, she's going to be like, hey, can I ask you a shitty question?
Sure, go for it.
So I know the day that we kind of met and were first on the boat, tensions were really high. What is the deal with what you guys have been doing previously, prior to?
Well, now, there's a question I wasn't hoping I'd need to answer.
Yeah.
He's quiet for maybe 30 seconds, and it's like he's sort of trying to form an answer.
She will also say, while he's quiet, like, I realize this may affect you more than possibly the rest of your crew. Because she knows that he kind of mentioned the history of the Minotaurs, but she doesn't know anything about it, so she's not going to try and explain something like that. Mm.
So, where to begin? The first thing that I remember is waking up on an island in the middle of the ocean. And all around this island were black clouds. There had been a horrible storm. I survived. Through my own knowledge, I was able to find food. I was able to survive. And then there was a boat. And this boat was captained by a man with blue skin, much like yourself, who had, you know, scars all over his forearms, like they'd been burned. He saw the fire from my campfire, and he took me on board.
How old were you?
I don't know how old I am now, so that's a hard question to answer. This was about 8 years ago.
Right, okay.
So he took me on board, and I served as, like, the cook's assistant.
Yeah.
Great man. His name was Mark. And for a few years, I just helped him. I didn't really ask any questions. You don't ask people questions if they saved your life and you don't remember anything of yourself.
So you don't remember anything before the beach?
He shakes his head.
Oh, Tiny. Oh, Tala doesn't show it outwardly, but she... If she could, like, awe at him, she would, but she doesn't, because that would be patronizing, but she thinks that in her soul.
But this isn't a unique story. You see, the problem is the same thing happened with the captain.
What?
The same thing happened to Norma. And we believe the same thing happened with Shimmer, but it's difficult to tell.
So you guys all, you only remember waking up on an island with a storm that had just passed. You don't, none of you remember any of your lives before that.
Nope.
Tala's eyes really widen because, oh, this is becoming like a much bigger thing. And she's like, what the fuck?
I hasten to add that the storm clouds weren't anything like the night of the storm most recent.
Right. Did they look like regular clouds or were they weird?
It was, he sort of puts his cooking implements down and turns to you and says in a very low voice, and it's like he's telling you a secret as opposed to a threatening low voice.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Tala, we were all found on islands in the black mists.
Oh. Holy shit. I've never known anyone even go there. I mean, it's kind of just smudged out on every map that I've ever seen, apart from the one on this ship, horrifyingly.
You guys are on the same floor as that particular map and table. Yeah. He says, have you not looked at the map, Tala?
I looked at it when I first came on, and it has like the whirlwind over the mists. Has it changed?
He beckons you over to the table.
Oh no! Oh and no!
And he rolls the he rolls the map.
Out. What's happening?
And where there were these whirlwinds, these swirly whirly whirlwinds, there is now just like black shaded in, and there is a tiny, teeny tiny picture of a boat that is just to the east of the black mists.
Hang on, so it's smudged out, there's no whirlwind, there's just a little picture of a boat.
There's no whirlwind there. So the whirlwind was over where the black mists were, in the top left of the map. That is now just...
But there's a picture of a little boat.
Tiny boat, just to the east of it.
It doesn't look like our boat, does it?
If you were to get a magnifying glass, you would be able to see a crow person in the crow's nest. He says, did you guys not... Oh, I'm so sorry, We've been in the black mists.
What? Oh my god, it's like a fucking episode of Lost.
Oh, hello. Welcome aboard. You actually look relaxed for once. Finally out of immediate danger, hey? This place? It's the middle bit. It's where I, Josh, speak to you, the listener, about all sorts of real-world goodness. Don't worry. There's nothing to fear here, and I promise, absolutely no jarring plot twists. Relax. And I think you should celebrate the new year with a glass of fizz. First, I'd like to tell you about two fine purveyors of dice. For Christmas, I bought each of my lovely players a set of dice that relate to each of their characters' vibe in one way or another. For Skylar, I have bought Jazz a lovely set of staghead dice, with green and gold colours on the inside. These are from Critit, C-R-I-T-I-T, a family-run small business nestled in our own fine city of Norwich. They offer a wide variety of RPG gaming goods, all designed and made by themselves, ranging from their amazing Soul of dice sets to their gorgeous Dungeon Master screens. For Tala, I've bought Alicia a very pretty set of blue and gold dice, each of which have within them a small, very real, seashell. Whereas for Hendrix, I've bought Alice a set of ink drop dice that change between a dark blue and purple depending on how the light hits them. Each of these sets were from Mint and Mustard, who stock a huge range of dice sets to suit all tastes. They even have some Critical Role inspired dice palettes, if that's your thing. They also specialise in accessories and gifts for RPG gamers, board gamers, and fans of popular culture alike. Be sure to join their Click Clack Club to earn points that can be used towards buying your very own specialty dice, or Click Clacks if you prefer. Finally, I'd like to shout out to Daniel Round once again, or Art of Daniel Round on the socials, for his fantastic artworks. You see, as my lovely players have been gifted dice, they too have gifted me with something. They had commissioned Daniel to follow up his initial fan art of Tala, Hendrix, and Skylar with his own interpretation of Pad, Norma, Tiny, and Shimmer. When I was presented with the final picture, I just couldn't help but shed a tear. It's a truly beautiful piece of artwork, so thank you, Jazz, Alice, and Alicia, as well as Daniel, for his wonderful rendering of my sweet baby NPCs. If you're wondering what this looks like yourself, you can find it on all of our socials at Dice and a Slice. That's at DiceNaSlice. And hey, if you like it and share it from Facebook, you might end up as one of our Facebook top fans. Speaking of which, a huge Happy New Year to our longest running top fan and number one cheerleader all over the world, Chaz. Thank you so much for all of your support, Chaz, and from the bottom of all of our hearts, we really do appreciate it. Well, it's a new year. Time to embrace the new, and with that in mind, we have some very exciting collaborations coming up in the very near future, but more about that closer to the time. We promise it is worth looking out for. I hope you're enjoying this episode. It's a little unusual in that it's not so much of the action, but is more of the talking, but I think it's a lovely point in the story for the players to take a breath and get to grips with where they are so far, and to really, really understand what they've learned so far as well. I really love it, and keep your ears out for after the closing music for this week's blooper. You won't want to miss it, and there are bloopers at the end of all of our episodes. So if you've not heard them, go back and listen to them. They're very funny. They're often funnier than the actual show itself, which is to say a lot. So all that remains is for me to say thank you for listening and to thank Alicia for editing this beast. I can just about see her, actually, underneath a pile of Quality Street wrappers. And now, back to the action.
We've been in the Black Mists.
What? Oh my god, it's like a fucking episode of Lost.
The island with the fucking fish people who are now elves on our ship. That was the Black Mist.
What? But we were just in the cozy. What? How did we get up here?
That explains the weird fucking train thing where I got your fist.
That's the most pressing thing here.
I did want to ask about that.
I just love that. It's like that explains how a couple of days ago I was on a train.
Like, it sounds really strange, but like, I was with Skylar and Hendrix and we were kind of on this train and I think it was like a flit manifestation thing, but now I have this cool necklace and I got you a whisk.
It looks more like a brooch to me.
It's a necklace. Darla has made it into a necklace. Darla's not a brooch lady. Right, holy fucking shit. Well, that is goddamn.
Did no one tell you guys?
No. So thank you so much for the heads up. Tala looks really stunned because she's now, her train of thought has just been like, just wait, so hang on. So when you guys woke up on your islands back before the guy saved you, was that in the Black Mist too? Or did we just, do you mean we?
Yeah.
Right. And that's where we were now. Okay. Tala probably goes quiet for like a portion of time, just kind of processing slash composing herself because she's now just like, oh, God damn.
Sensing that you're processing stuff, Tiny firstly is going to get a little cup out of a pouch and he sort of takes a bottle and he pours some stuff from a bottle. It's like a amber liquid that he pours from this bottle into this cup, which he then heats with a little bit of magic.
Oh.
He says, you should have some tea. Oh. And you should probably sit down. There are no seats, but you know.
I'm good. I can stand. Okay. But thank you for the tea.
There is a guy that I know who is a researcher of the Black Mists. We all know him because we've spoken to him.
Sure. The classic way to know people is to talk to them, yeah.
Well, exactly, like Mark. You know, that's his name because that was his name. I mean, he's at the place that the captain's headed.
Yeah, the captain said home. I was going to ask what the heading was.
Well, we're going to where all the flotsam and jetsam of the ocean ends up, where all tides meet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We're going to the last hope, of course.
Yeah, of course. Right, sure. That is what I had thought.
I mean,
okay.
You're on the run, so that's the best place to be, a place without law.
I mean, I am. I'm also dressed like, you know, a royal guard, but it's fine.
I did want to ask.
I can wear a shirt or something. Darla's just like glossing over that part. She's going to have to steal some clothes.
She's
from
gonna have I went to the Black Mists and all I got was this lousy t-shirt.
It's like you just told Javert that he's going to Tortuga just to mix up stories.
Yeah, so she's going to take a few like sips of her tea quietly, kind of thinking on things.
It's good tea.
It is really good tea. And she's going to put the cup down next to her and kind of look at him and be like, so I think there's a lot of stuff going on. I don't necessarily know. I mean, I think I know like a small percentage of it, if that. But I'm really sorry to hear about what happened to you, and if we can do anything to fix it or find out where you came from or anything about your life before then I would like to help you do that.
That's awfully kind of you. Thank you. Unfortunately, how can I try and recover a life that I don't remember?
I mean, it might just be some kind of weird magic that has locked that part of you away somewhere. It might be unlockable somehow. I know
perhaps.
A lady. If we ever get back to where we need to get to, I'll introduce you to her. She's great.
Cool.
And Tala's gonna give him a hug.
Oh, he hugs her.
And it's a long hug. This isn't like a normal hug.
An embrace.
Is it an arms over the shoulder hug, or is it an arm around the waist hug?
Oh, arms over the shoulder. Arms around the waist is a bit too meek for Tala.
He definitely scoops you up.
Oh!
Well, you've had some good hugs with Tiny.
Yeah.
But This is like a two people that have just shared something.
Aww.
And you know, having a good hug it out hug. Just roll me a perception check for Tyler. Just do me a quick one.
Fun fact for our listeners, Josh brought us all new pretty dice for our characters for Christmas. So this is my first roll with my new pretty dice.
Oh yeah, we haven't freaking rolled yet.
That is a 15.
So it's a really good hug. His head is over Tyler's right shoulder. You just sort of feel a little trickle of water just go down your back.
Oh no!
As though he has got some tears.
Oh no!
Those are some big ass tears.
He's a minotaur.
He's a big boy.
Tyler knows water as well. Yeah. I feel like any small bitch is like
water perception's like on
off
it.
The charts.
Moisture.
She will squeeze him a bit harder when she feels the tears.
As you start to squeeze harder, he's sort of, it's weird. His body doesn't quite know how to react. There's a sort of a momentary panic.
Aww.
And then he sort of brings you in. But then he gives you a squeeze to be like, I'm signifying the end of this hug.
Tyler understands that. She's not a clinger. Yeah. That would be weird.
He sort of sniffs a little bit. And as he turns away, you can sort of see his hand come up to his face so that he can't quite tell what it is that he's doing. Probably wiping his eyes.
No.
And he instinctively goes to a bag containing onions and just starts.
No!
Smooth.
What a sweetheart.
So Tyler's going to kind of go and put like one, just like a hand on his arm or shoulder or whatever and be like, I'm going to go and check in with the others. So don't whisk too hard. I don't want you to break anything. And kind of give him a wink.
I wouldn't whisk it.
Tala laughs and she leaves on the wonderful pun. Oh, she will, as she's leaving, say, hey, can I take this? And point to the map.
He doesn't look up, but he nods.
Cool. She's going to take the map and go find the boys.
Oh, time to dust off my old yelling at NPC voice.
This is going to be great.
I hope you're ready for some top-notch Angry Hendrix content.
Yeah, so I'm going to go back onto deck to find the boys.
Tala, you get on deck and you can see Hendrix and Skylar stood at the prow. You are by the stern.
So yes, I will go over to where Skylar and Hendrix are stood.
All right, so yeah, we look around like... Oh, hey, Tyler.
Hi.
Hi, guys. Are you tired? I feel brain tired. Do you feel brain tired? We've had a shitty couple days.
I feel like I've been to another world and back.
I would certainly appreciate taking something slow.
I would appreciate some ale.
So,
I'm sorry. Just these two characters have been like, yeah, I'm not in a great place emotionally. And Tyler's like,
well, guess what?
So, firstly, I just want to say, Skylar, you did such a great job on the island, and I can't imagine what you're going through, knowing what is happening with your deity. I'm not gonna pretend to, but we are here if you need us. I will help in any way that I can.
Thank you.
And I mean, we fixed one island, and I'm sure we can fix others.
I like your enthusiasm.
That's right.
We can do that.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And, Hendrix, I don't know what you're going through. I know it is something. I have to say, I necessarily didn't think Axul was a real thing. He just seems like a weird cult figure in the Cody. But seeing the island, I think he's really got some kind of real-world clout and problems that I did not necessarily put much weight into, and that is my bad.
You know, that makes sense. You follow Lusker and... People often say they're the same, so
yeah.
You know, if you picked a team, as it were, you're not gonna give the other team much stock.
Yeah. So. I mean, on that, I feel like you have some kind of affinity with water, whether you maybe want to or not. And I don't know what your thoughts are or your plans, but if you wanna learn more about Liska or kind of get a different side or understanding, I'm here if you wanna talk or go through stuff, just if you want to.
He looks quite touched by that, and you know, he's just like, thank you. I might take you up on that. I thank you for not being more judgmental. I know there's a lot of tension between our groups, and I wouldn't blame you for not really wanting to have much to do with me, so thank you.
Hey, you're great. You picked a shitty demon. But you, Hendrix, as a person, are 10 out of 10, would recommend.
Skylar just nods in agreement. Yeah. It's like, yep.
Thank you. I'll take you up on that sometime, and I'll try not to be too salty about it all.
I'm sorry if I am. It's a bit ingrained at this point.
Hey, trying is something. So, I don't mean to, like, pile on here.
Skylar just raises an eyebrow, like, ah.
I should have brought tea for you guys, and I didn't, and that was my mistake. I will get tea in a minute.
The lines on Hendrix's face just deepen a bit, but other than that, it doesn't move, because he's just like, of course there's something worse happening.
So Tala's going to, like, hold the map closed in front of her and be like, so, I've been chatting with Tiny, and I know we all went on our, like, weird dream train thing, and apparently everyone else found this out or figured it out. They didn't tell us, unless you guys know. I didn't know. So apparently we have been in the black mists this whole time.
So Skylar kind of frowns and is like, what's the black mist?
Oh, of course you don't know.
So Tala will open the map.
I'm gonna say this, it don't sound good.
So Tala will open the map and point to the black misty area and be like, so as far as our world, this is like map world map. This is what we know of as far as I'm aware.
Right.
You can see our world map on our Instagram at Dice and a Slice.
There is always this corner here. It is known as the Black Mists. It is always smudged out like this on a map. I have never known anyone go there and come back. It's always been like a deadly space, a black holy space. No one really.
Right.
Not good.
Oh, okay.
And Tala kind of looks at Hendrix as if to be like, is that your understanding?
Yeah, of the black mists? I didn't want to interrupt over Zoom, but when you said the black mists and Skylar says, what's that? At the same time, Hendrix is just like, the black mists! And just yells it. And so please assume, dear listener, that the entire way through Tala's explanation just then, Hendrix is pacing up and down and every now and then going, what the shite? Or the black mists, and just throwing
it's
his hands
like an
up in
anime.
The air.
Just yeah. Put chibi Hendrix angrily pacing up and down.
He
in
just
the
he just crosses in front of the camera every few seconds, screaming while Tala's giving lovely exposition.
Fucking black mist.
So yeah, Tala's like, "Is that about right, Hendrix?" And he's just pacing like, "Oh, black fucking mists," which is pretty much an answer.
I know, but also, doesn't that there now make stuff make more sense?
No, kind of? It doesn't make sense. How did we get from Nakoti to the black mess without noticing or being told?
We got lost in a storm. Did you like block that out?
Yes.
Okay, no, that tracks.
It's a condition he has.
See, look, Hendrix, if you look on the map, here's our little boat. See us there?
Yeah.
And Tala will point to the tiny little ship.
Do maps do that as a general rule?
No.
Tala shakes her head.
Oh. He groans and he holds his head like, so the rest of the crew knew this and they didn't tell us.
I mean, I think they might have deduced it while we were off in our brainscape. I don't know.
He points at Tala as if she's somehow controlling reality.
And it's like, love it.
And it's like, and whilst he's still holding his head, and he's like, if we got lost here in a storm, then gonna have to forgive them, he says, as if they've done something. But if they brought us here on purpose and didn't tell us, I'm gonna yell at Pad again.
Hey, I don't think they did. So you know the guys, Pad, Tiny, and Norma and Shimmer?
Yeah.
I'm aware of them,
I'm aware of their work.
So apparently the guy who they were working for, past tense, he found all of them on an island in the Black Mists, and they do not remember anything about their lives from before that point.
Oh.
So I don't think this was like a shitty, let's take the newbies into the Black Mist. I think this was an awful happening.
It's a very strange coincidence.
I gotta ask. I mean, you just said that no one comes out of the Black Mist, but it sounds like whoever their boss was made a habit of going in and out of the Black Mist. And that is something to maybe follow up on.
Yeah. Well, speaking of following up, do you remember Pad just saying to Shimmer to go home?
Skylar's face just kind of falls like, I've just found out about this Black Mist and that it's not a good idea. That they lived in the Black Mist and now we're going to the Black Mist. He's just sort of like, this has been a harrowing 5 minutes.
No.
Emotional roller coaster.
No, see, our little ship is sailing away. That we're not going back in.
I think in the future, I'm going to give all exposition just to Tala. Just to see how she delivers it to the rest of the folk.
I would say it's a weird mix because Tala's used to kind of being very regimented and giving instructions that are very clear and very direct and quite not cold, but like to the point. Where she's aware she's got like two kind of emotional creatures with her. So she's
how
trying.
How dare you?
You can't say that. You'll upset them.
Yeah, you're like, how dare you upset my feelings?
But like, Skylar's really young and inexperienced, and Hendrix is very volatile. So she's trying to like give the information, but kind of softly, but also she doesn't necessarily. She can deal with young kids and she can deal with giving orders, and she's trying to do something she doesn't normally do. So it is an experience for everyone.
You know, if you kind of just give us orders like we're young kids, you probably get a lot better. Like, you get along a lot better.
All right, guys. So we're going on a fun trip.
What you do just expend about, like, no, Skylar, look, our little boat's going away from the mist.
Yes, I'm like, exactly. In the panic of seeing the sadness in Skylar's eyes, was like, hey, look, our little ship.
Like, I appreciate the more effeminate, sweet voice that you just put on for me, Tyler, but I'm a big boy. And I can't handle the truth.
No, but the truth is, so we're not going back into the mists.
Right.
But their place, which they think of as home, is the Last Hope, which I don't know.
Oh!
Hendrix, I assume you know.
Oh, that's fine.
And again, Skylar just blinks and is like, well, that don't sound great neither.
Yeah, remember, Skylar, it was the criminal place where all the criminals go.
Oh, yeah, I remember now.
Hendrix starts thinking about a big pint of ale and hears the sea shanties from here and he is ready to go. Mood improved.
Yeah, but which sea shanty is it? Is it Hendrix? Which one? Because no one can agree on it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'd forgotten that entirely. That's fun.
Fun world building. Fuck, that was cool.
So the Last Hope is technically an island nation all to itself, although in reality it is just a rock that originally had a pub on it. The point I just alluded to is that the national anthem of this nation of the Last Hope is a sea shanty, but no one can agree what it is. There are sort of two main groups. There's one that believes the sea shanty is about puffins, and there's another one that believes the sea shanty is actually about portholes. But what both parties agree is that the national anthem gets more and more crass as it goes on.
We don't want to hear the one about portholes anymore.
No, we don't. I realise that I've come here with like a lot of stuff, but prior to the whole big shindig in Nakoti, which you guys were both kind of privy to, I had discovered by odd means. Tala looks quite pained. She doesn't really, she wasn't planning on sharing this, but she kind of has, like, feels like she should and has to. But she doesn't really know, like, how to kind of verbalize what she's saying.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people in Nakoti. The queen is involved, which, I mean, makes a lot of sense to me because she's a bitch.
The bitch queen.
Yeah.
Oh, I've heard of her.
And also the guy who was there and attacked everyone on that evening. There is some kind of creature trafficking happening through or via or Nakoti is involved. The queen and some others are, I think they're like selling merpeople on the black market.
Hendrix's eyes grow huge and his mouth drops open a little bit because that's insane.
I don't know the ins and outs. I'd only really just found out. But then these guys come and they've been trafficking creatures, but they don't seem to know anything about the merpeople. Not a lot of people believe in merpeople, so they're kind of unknown, but they're part of my culture in a way. They're like distant cousins. And I know I need to stop it, but I'm now feeling like this might be bigger than what I can fix on my own. And it's obviously involving some criminals, and that is the opposite of my world. So I don't know what you guys had planned, but I feel like the Last Hope might be a good next stop. Tala just looks really uncomfortable. She doesn't really know what she's doing at this point.
Oh, bless her. Yeah, so Hendrix just looks stunned. I imagine because he is growing Axelus, he might have a vague inkling that merpeople are real. I don't know if that seems fair or not, or like he might have heard rumours that it might be.
You can roll me a history check if you'd like, Hendrix.
Oh yeah, go on, because yeah.
Oh, a roll.
Oh, I did not roll well. I'm thinking I don't think merpeople are real. Yeah, I got an 8.
Everyone's heard of merpeople, but like in the same way that everyone has heard of the stinky cheese man, you know, it's not
They're not real.
Everyone has now heard.
Everyone's heard of the Stinky Cheese Man. Yeah.
You know, and so you'd read bedtime stories with merpeople in.
Mm-hmm.
There was one that you particularly liked about a mermaid who made a pact with a sea demon, and in exchange for her voice, she was able to walk and live on land.
Wow, shit. Damn. So yeah, Hendrix stares at Tala and is like, but mer people aren't real.
Tala kind of like sighs with a smirk and is like, right? If I don't mean to be like shitty to other people, but
that's always what people say right before they're really shitty.
No offense, but
we Tritons, I mean, I'm not saying everyone, but we Tritons especially have a real respect for the sea and the water and the creatures within it. Other people have a tendency to ruin things. And just if everyone knew that they were real, I mean, they would be hunted, and that is not something that we have ever wanted. So them being thought of as not real kind of helps the cause. We don't, you know, they're beautiful and they're amazing, and we don't need people kind of hunting them for fun. And it appears that that's happening anyway. But I mean, Hendrix, I can promise you that they are most certainly real, and they are in trouble.
Right.
Skylar doesn't know what mer people are.
That's fair.
And the fact that they're sea people from the deep is just like, so they're Tritons? He hasn't said anything. He's just sort of like got that squint expression of, I see.
Yeah, so like, all right, well, where do we begin? I know that the crew want us to help with the zoo. Do you think it's linked with the zoo?
I mean, I think it might be. There is a secret entrance to Nakoti in which they are getting into the city, but it is very well guarded and not very well known. As much as I would love to be big hero number one and fix it on my own, I don't think that I can do that. And I honestly don't even know where to start at this point.
All right. Well, we'll have to just figure it out.
We'll have to add it to the list of tragic missions.
I guess that we go into the last hope is going to be a good place to start. So don't weigh yourself down with worrying too much. I think let's just get there and see what we can find out.
Yeah, like I know that obviously your god is having a really hard time, and there's stuff happening there and stuff happening at your home. And I don't want to be like, oh, well, fuck that, let's go do my thing, because that's shitty. But equally, I still don't quite know how we're going to handle your situation if we go there now anyway. And I don't know, Hendrix, if you have any kind of scope of what you want to go next. And I don't really know either, so it's like a weird island middle ground, maybe.
Skylar sort of smiles and is like, I just have the feeling that the gods have a way of putting people exactly where they need to be.
Oh, Tala smiles at that. She feels that too.
I think that if we just go with where we're being sent, it'll all make sense.
Tala looks at Hendrix.
I don't know about that, but we'll help you with this, lass.
Tala kind of sighs a deep sigh of relief and is like, okay, thank you. That was awkward for me. I apologize.
I don't know how we're going to help, but we will. And don't apologize. That's a strange thing to share, because it sounds insane.
Yeah, and I noticed that, you know, you and the Queen seem to, I don't know where you are now, but previously you seem to have been on a similar kind of team, apparently.
I
don't know if that has anything to do with it, but if your guy is causing havoc,
I imagine anywhere something really bad is happening, he might be involved. It's the feeling I'm starting to get.
Yeah. Also, maybe don't mention the whole not remembering their previous lives thing, because I don't know whether I was meant to tell you guys. So maybe just keep that, because I thought you should know, but I don't think it's like public information.
All right.
By the way, now I've told you this, you've got to keep it a secret. I know I didn't ask you if you could keep a secret before that, but I'm telling you now.
This is entrapment!
Being like, it has to be a super secret, but she just doesn't want you to go like, oh, so bad. Can't remember your childhood, huh?
Well, that was what I was planning on going and saying to him, so I'm so glad that you brought that up.
So, Pad, I see you don't remember your father. I suppose that's why you don't understand respect. You don't seem to know how things work.
Oh, brutal.
This is why Tala said that, see? Yeah. She just wants to be like, hey, maybe let's not, you know, poke the wound. Should we get tea, drink?
Aye, let's get some ale.
So we will head to the kitchen and get some tea and
just
ale.
Just out of curiosity, who told you all of this again?
Who is he going to go yell at?
Who told me what?
Who told you about the mists and them forgetting their memories and everything?
Tiny.
He just looks, he just gives her a look because it's like, we all kind of know that she's been side-eyeing Tiny. So it's like, he just gives you a look of like, you've been having a little chat with Tiny.
Tala spots that and kind of goes, well, I got him that whisk from the train, so I had to give him the whisk.
Well, yeah, you had to get him the whisk and you had to give it to him and you had to share backstories.
Tala narrows her eyes, flips her hair and continues down to the kitchen.
You go, girl.
He just has a knowing little chuckle.
Dad, don't embarrass
me. Just like, yeah. He doesn't do anything else. He doesn't want to tease you too much, but he just has that little knowing chuckle of like, yeah, she likes Tiny. He's like, oh, bless.
I love it.
It's nice when the kids have fun.
Come on, Skylar. Dad's being lame.
I don't know what's going on, but I'm glad I'm included.
Classic little brother.
I'm just happy to be involved.
Josh, are you having a good time as Mr. Sitback DM? While Tala butchers the exposition?
I am having the best time. The three of you have made your way to Tiny's parlour, and you do all have some tea. Tiny has actually left the room, sensing that the three of you are exhausted. He wanted to give you some space. You cannot tell whether Oswald is in there or not, although you suspect not.
Tala's just kind of left the map on the table in case anyone wants to look at it more.
I just look at it now and then and kind of groan and then sit back.
Yeah.
And I'd like, I have an ale. I do not have tea.
Hendrix just like spikes the tea that Tiny gives.
I'll just throw something.
He makes it Irish.
Irish tea would be awful.
Just because there's no ale on the ship.
Yeah, but now it's a new ship. Is this ship also aleless?
What kind of hell is this?
I thought Venta was a good, nice god.
Yeah, but she doesn't want anyone to be drunk at the wheel.
She's steering the ship.
That's not what Pad believes.
You believe yourself to be steering.
Exactly.
I think that I imagine that we're all just sitting in like a tired silence.
Yeah.
Like it's just been such a heavy fucking time.
I've got one thing to say actually. So Tiny, huh?
Yes. Tiny, what about it?
just he's a Minotaur. That's you know, that's choice.
Tala looks a bit confused for a second and she's like, is that a thing that people are normally concerned about?
I'm not saying anything discriminatory, you know, discriminator. He struggles over the word because I'm struggling over the word right now.
You had your Irish tea.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything discriminatory.
You got it.
Nailed it.
I just, ambitious, I suppose.
Are you saying Tiny is out of my league?
No, I'm saying he's out of your scale.
I mean, how tall is Tiny?
Oh, Tiny's a big boy. He's like 6'7", excluding horns. He's probably 7 foot, including the horns.
Okay, so Tala's about 5'9", 5'10", I think. So she can't be too far off.
It's like a foot difference. And, you know, this is all Hendrix is saying. He's trying to be polite.
I just think he is a nice guy.
Well, I mean, he can cook. He can lift a house. What more do you want?
Pretty much.
He raises his tea. Good luck to you.
Thanks. You see a look flash across Tala's face. That's what you see.
Ooh.
I know what she's thinking.
Ooh, what can I roll insight?
Yeah, Hendrix roll insight. Tala roll deception.
I got a 16.
Oh, I got a 19.
Ooh.
While we're here, does Skylar see the look on Tala's face? does he see it for a minute?
Come on, wise Skylar.
And that is a 21, bitch.
So, Tala, what emotion were you suppressing?
So, when Hendrix said, good luck to you, the look that goes across Tala's face is like, oh, do you know what? I might need luck for the situation that I might have accidentally put myself in somewhere down the line, but we'll deal with that when we get to it.
Ooh.
That's a problem for future Tala.
Yeah.
So, the three of you spend the rest of this day, certainly, just sort of chilling out below deck. You guys don't need to do any work on the boat. There are plenty of pallid-looking elves who will do anything that needs to be done. It's almost as though they sort of owe you a life debt or something. So you guys don't really need to worry about doing anything active to keep the boat going. To be honest, the boat sort of seems like it's doing its own thing anyway. And like, even when they're tying ropes, these ropes are very nearly tying themselves. So the next few days pass generally the same. I mean, this is lazy storytelling, but nothing of note happens. The boat seems to move along pleasantly enough. The ocean is calm. During the day, the sun is high. During the night, the moon is uninterrupted.
If we're going for days, I do send Andrew to play with Oswald.
Aww. Ah, very well.
That's all it is, but I do that.
I would also say, if we are doing days, within that scope of time, Tala would try and ask around to try and garner herself an outfit of clothing that looks less guardy. Just a shirt to throw over, maybe some like pantaloons or something.
Okay. I'm not going to make you roll for it because you're doing it over a period of days. So firstly, Andrew the Tentacle and Oswald are great pals. You think? You can't really tell with Oswald because he's invisible. But Andrew definitely seems like he's having fun. So that much you know, Hendrin.
Oh, well, I'm glad.
Tala, you spend the better part of probably maybe 2 days asking various folks on the ship to see if they have any spare clothes to loan you. I'm going to go ahead and say that you end up looking like a sort of a rough-shod buccaneer.
Yeah.
Type vibe.
Baggy shirt.
Baggy brown trousers.
Tala does actually have like a kind of like leathery waist bandy belt thing that she'd probably wrap around the trousers and the shirt to keep them all together and also to cinch her.
Tie the entire piece together, yeah. Sure. Yeah, you just sort of look, I mean, apart from the blue skin and silver hair, you look like any other sort of buccaneer wench. Just to use like a fantasy trope. That's a trope.
Wonderful.
Jazz, is Skylar going to be doing anything in particular over the next few days?
No, he'll probably just kind of like help out on the boat wherever he's needed, though, even though it does look like it's kind of running itself. I think he's frankly just going to take some time to mentally recover.
Yeah.
Maybe whittle.
Ah, that'll be cute.
And it must be nice for Skylar to be on a boat out on the, like, he's learning new things.
Yeah, it's kind of, you nice. Know, as far as he's concerned, he's had a very tough couple of months. He hasn't stopped, even when he was traveling with like the goblin train and all of that. He's frankly, he's just like, I'm kicking back, you know? I'm just like, I'm just gonna whittle this stick to a point and then I'm gonna throw it overboard.
Very well. So a few days pass, let's say 4 days pass. And eventually you guys hear overhead from the crow's nest, you hear the sound of a bell ringing. You look up and you see that it is in fact Shimmer making the bell noise with their mouth. And they're pointing towards the prow of the ship. And everyone roll me a perception check.
I got a 19.
18.
That's a 26.
So, Skylar, you saw this before Shimmer started making a kerfuffle about it.
Sounds about right.
But you all fix your eyes in the direction that is being pointed. And you can see what appears to be, like, to Hendrix and Tala, it appears to be a rock just jutting out of the ocean, quite a way away, quite difficult to say, maybe an hour away. Skylar, you have very good depth perception, and you can tell that this is not like a small rock that is an hour away. This is a larger rock that is about 3 or 4 hours away. And around this rock, there appear to be sort of boats and other things that are quite difficult to make out at this extreme distance. But you're able to see it well enough.
You know how you said that the last hope was on a big rock?
Aye.
That looks like that's what that is.
Tala takes a very deep breath, like readying herself.
Oh, I'm going to think about that pint of ale all the way there. In fact, I'm going to go talk to Tiny.
Ooh.
Very well. Easy enough, you find Tiny, he's just doing some sweeping. There's another brush moving, and that brush that seems to be moving on its own sort of stops for a moment, and you feel as though there's an impression of something standing there like it would be wagging a tail at you if it had a tail.
Aww.
How cute.
Hi, Oswald, maybe I'll send Andrew to play with you later.
The brush starts brushing. So Hendrix, what can I do for you?
I was just wondering.
No, I don't have any ale, no.
No, I know. I was just wondering, we're going to the Last Hope, and you're the quartermaster, and I was wondering if there's any room in the budget to stock up on a lot of ale whilst we're in port.
Well, it's funny you should ask that, actually. The elves on the island had a lot of gold. Like, a lot of gold.
hungry gleam in his eyes. Hungry gleam.
He matches that hungry gleam.
They were quite touchy about not sharing it, though.
I suspect they won't miss. They weren't counting it.
Oh, tiny. Bad boy.
It's just like, are you suggesting we rob these elves of their gold so we can buy ale?
I mean, I've been counting it, and no one else has been making sure that I count it properly. And I'm just a big dumb minotaur, so...
Tiny!
You're a man after my own heart, Tiny.
Yeah, it's very slyly, like, so you could easily make some mistakes.
Oh, I've been known to be very clumsy.
He looks like he's got a newfound respect for Tiny. I see. Well, I don't know if you've given any thought to where you might want to channel these happy accidents, but...
Well, let's just say that I know a guy.
Hendrix is pleased. Hendrix will remember this.
He sort of sees Hendrix being pleased. And he goes into his pocket and he takes out what looks to be like a tiny, like a ring box sized wooden chest.
What's that?
If he proposes to you, I'm going to be pissed.
I support it.
He opens the little chest and you can see that inside it goes on forever.
Like a chest of holding.
Nice.
He closes it and winks at you, Hendrix.
I understand. Just taps his nose.
And so he says, so you've heard of the Last Hope then?
Oh, I've been a sailor for many years.
I don't doubt that. Do you know? Do you know?
Do I know a guy or?
I mean, when was the last time you were there?
When was the last time I was there, Josh?
So he's going to sort of get very conspiratorial with you, Hendrix, and he's going to say, is it portholes or puffins?
I've always assumed portholes.
Agree to disagree.
And he looks at the box that Tiny's been talking about. It's like, you know what? I suppose I could be convinced to change my mind given current circumstances.
Tala would come down to the kitchen and probably bring Skylar with her. Mm-hmm. And just be like, guys, I just...
Hi there.
Hello.
You guys are being weird, so I'm not going to ask. Okay, so we're like getting close now. And do I like scream like narc? Or...
Aye.
Oh, shit.
No, not in those clothes. Oh, you're fine.
Okay. I don't want to be like thrown off the island.
That's fair.
What I will say, Tala, is you know that anyone that you've ever put away is either in Nakoti or at the Brig, which is like a big... a jail complex mm-hmm. off the coast of Nakoti.
Yeah.
So you would know that, like, if there's anyone there who you've put away, they might not, because, like, you're just a triton. Like, you're a big triton, you're a big lady triton.
She's pretty memorable looking. I mean, she's pretty striking.
I mean, you're pretty memorable looking, but no one's going to be expecting to see you there.
Yeah. Tala basically is just trying to make sure that she can, like, pass as a criminal.
Yeah, sure.
You look like someone I wouldn't mess with, but you don't look like a guard.
Perfect. I just wanted to double check.
Over the course of the next 3 hours, this looming island nation gets closer and closer. The first thing that anyone sees when they approach the Last Hope is the large rock on which the very first building on the Last Hope, a pub called the Last Hope, was built. The pub itself is precariously supported by a myriad of beams and supports coming off the side of this rock that juts out of the ocean, almost in defiance of the waters that surround it. As the boat that is currently unnamed approaches this island, you see that there are piers, so many piers that splay out from the island itself, like the legs of a spider. As the boat approaches, it starts moving in a peculiar way, almost as though it's navigating an invisible maze. The slightly more perceptive of you would be able to look overside and see that surrounding the Last Hope is a vicious-looking coral reef. It is jagged, it is sharp, and on the outskirts of this reef, you see a lot of downed ships. Goodness me, that is a lot of flotsam. Occasionally, you see predatory fish swimming through these coral reefs, as well as tropical fish of a rainbow of colours. As you get closer to the Last Hope, you notice the weather overhead goes from this sunny disposition that you've been enjoying on your travel to one that is dreary and overcast. There is a distinct feeling around this defiant island that it is a very wet and miserable place. Wet and miserable for the weather, not necessarily from the people. And even as your boat nears the dock that seems to have been chosen specifically for you, you can hear the cheers of people from the pub that comes from the very, very top of the island. That's not to mention all of the other buildings around as well, each of them made from driftwood and other parts of boats, not in the same way that the roughshod shacks on the island were made, but these seem more purposeful, as though boats were sailed here with the sole intention of them becoming places of business. As the boat pulls up to the jetty, there is a man stood on there. He's human looking, quite dark skin, has a red jacket and some ragged navy trousers. On his hip he wears a cutlass. The man on the jetty calls up to Pad, who quickly jumps down. The two men observe each other and they shake hands. There is a word said between the two of them that none of you can hear. This is not because they said it very quietly, but because it was said in a zone that it was in itself obscuring sound.
Ooh.
Your boat is permitted to dock. And as you pull up, several dockhands, young men of various different races, all rush up with ropes to kind of lasso the great brig and tether it to the dock, lest it sail away. Over the course of the next hour or so, you're able to move everything that you need off the boat. And then the three of you stand on the dock, looking up at the higgledy-piggledy, very nearly shantytown-esque island of the Last Hope.
Oh, yeah. Breathe in that beautiful air of scum and villainy.
I ain't ever seen so much grey.
He claps him on the shoulder like, you get used to it.
Tala has like an oddly like curious glint in her eye, because this is like going behind the curtain for her, and she's like, this is so exciting.
This is taboo for Tala.
Yeah.
As the three of you take in the grey, but homely, if a bit taboo, mass in front of you, a weary looking man with a crazy look in his eye runs up to you and he says, hey you, your boat's getting away.
Have we been left?
What?
And that's where we're going to leave it. What stories lie in wait for our heroes? Why has the boat from Venta decided to leave? And will our plucky three ever catch a break? Oh, it's unlikely, but you'll have to find out next time on Dice and a Slice. The very first thing, if you search into Google man fondue, the very first thing that comes up is that video of the guy who's trying to make his own cheese fondue.
Oh, and it gets stuck.
And it spins around on
Oh, okay, so it's not the worst thing.
No, it could be a lot worse.
It's not a man dipping himself in cheese, no.
I'm going to go to images. I'm going to turn off safe search. It's just men eating fondue.
Oh, look at me being wholesome.
Jazz, this means you've got a brand new business idea that no one else has tapped into yet. You need to market this.
What? Horn of men in fondue.
No, like a man fondue.
For hen parties.